We just sang these words. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. So I want to ask you, is he welcome here?
Yes.
Amen. Because, you know, if we come to worship and we don't invite the Holy Spirit, then we're just fellowshipping. Did you know that? To truly worship, to truly be impacted by God, we need the Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning worshiping with us at Wiley Methodist. If you are a visitor this morning, maybe it's your first visit, maybe you've been here for a while, but you've kind of been flying under the radar, and that's okay. If you want to fly under the radar, you have our blessing to do that. But if we would love to know who you are, and not so we can bug you or anything like that, but just know who you are and know that you've been here with us. There's a blue card in the seat in front of you. If that's you and you would like us to know that you were here, we would certainly like to know that. And you can fill that out. And there's a box on there you can check if you would like to be a part of our email list. We can get you added to that. If there's any kind of thing how we can serve you, you can check it on that box. A couple of things. First of all, speaking of that email list, as Jared mentioned, the service for Bill Reed this week. This has been a pretty trying and tough week for Wiley Methodist, our Wiley Methodist family. We've had lost Bill Reed, and we lost Tamara Cohen. Karen's 17-year-old daughter did that funeral on Saturday morning, and then found out also on Saturday evening that Michelle Stump's mother passed away, that she'd been sick for a while, and she's in another state, and so they've flown to be with her family, and so it's been a pretty rough week for us at Wiley Methodist, and I just want to thank you for stepping up and serving these families, how you have embraced these families, and God bless you for that. If you would turn with me while you're turning to Romans chapter 13, I also want to mention we've got the crop walk going on today out at, is it 2:30? 2:30 sign up, 3 o'clock is the actual walk. It's out at Nelson Park this year, Walking for the Hungry. If you want to raise your hand over there, Jim, if you want more information, there's an insert in your bulletin, but also Jim McDonald can help you with that. And the Kairos weekend is this coming weekend, and we still need cookies. And if you want to help sponsor one of the men in white, that's what they call the inmates out at the prison that they will be serving. If you want to serve one of them in the form of a meal, you can get a $5 donation to cover that. And you can see my brother over here. Raise your hand. All right, Sal over there can hook you up with that. They're also still needing some people on the prayer vigil. I am working a walk to Emmaus this next weekend. I'll be here for church, but I'll be out on the walk to Emmaus for the weekend. And it's a men's walk, and we've got until midnight Monday to sign some more people up. And there are openings. If the Lord's prompting your heart about that, please come and see me, because I would be happy to get you signed up and get you on that. I really think there's still some more from our church that the Lord would prompt to do that. Romans chapter 13. Beginning in verse 10, this is Apostle Paul writing to the Gentiles in Rome, and we pick it up in verse 10. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Anybody in a slumber? Anybody in a spiritual slumber in the room? He's speaking to us. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Let's pray. Father, we have invited your Holy Spirit, and I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority to impact our hearts, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm concluding the sermon series called Integrity for Dummies. Now, if you've missed the first 2 weeks of that, number one, all of these messages have kind of worked together, so I can't go back and bring you up to speed from what we've talked about the last 2 weeks, but we have the website. The sermons are on the website, www.wileymethodist.org, and we also have a rack out here with DVDs. And so I'm much better when you can see me on the DVD, right? Why are all the guys going, "No, Jeff, you're really not"? Well, I have a face for radio, but that's another topic. But anyway, we have those out there, and you can get yourself caught up. But today, and I'm not calling anybody a dummy. This is kind of a play on the book that came back out in the late 70s. It was a computer book, DOS for Dummies, and the purpose of those series of books is to make a difficult topic simple. And so that's the gist of the title of the series. But today, Integrity for Dummies, today, Pressing into Jesus. Pressing into Jesus. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've talked about how if you really kind of dig deep into that word integrity, that what that really means is to be righteous, is to be to lead a righteous life. And if you dig down a little deeper into that word righteous, what the definition of that is right living. To for us as Christians to lead a life that's Christ-like, to lead a life that draws others to Christ. And so we talked last week about how this that when we come to Christ, we are instantly in the spiritual realm, in the way God sees us, we're instantly made holy and righteous. And that's in the spirit. But in the flesh, in our everyday life, this righteous living is a process. And we're the whole idea is to make how we behave in the flesh, in the body, in the world, how we behave to match up with how we are in the Spirit, how we've been washed as white as snow through Christ, and we have taken on the righteousness of Christ, and we want our lives to match up with that. And that is a process. Last week we looked at Philippians 3, and I just want to read a couple of the verses from Philippians 3. This is Paul talking about his journey into this right living, this just righteous journey that he was on. He says, "I press on." Do you hear the action of that, the verb of that? I press on, that there's something that I'm pressing towards. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me, forgetting what is behind so our past can bog us down in this process. And he's saying, forget what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to live up to what we have already attained. And don't you just love that? To live up to what we have already attained. So that's this process of right living, this holiness or righteousness. Wesley called it sanctification, this purification of us, making us into the likeness of Christ. So this, our text today out of Romans, it's still the Apostle Paul writing these words and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, look at verse 14, he says that either we will, in this process of living out this righteous living, we will either press into Christ, says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, or we will press into our desires, our earthly desires, the desires of the flesh. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So he's talking about this battle that we will either be pressing into Christ or we will be pressing into the world, into the desires of our own selfish desires. Now, I was thinking through Scripture of some examples of this, and the first one that came to mind was King David. King David, if you don't know all the story, you've caught, probably as a little kid, you heard the story where he took the slingshot and the five stones, and he slayed the the giant Goliath and so on and so forth. But the whole story of David is that while he was this young shepherd boy, that God had picked him out and said, this is my man. This is the guy I choose to lead my people, and he is a man after my own heart. God himself said that he's a man after my own heart, and he's going to do things that please me. But this King David, as he goes on and he becomes king, he's standing on the rooftop of his palace. Everything has been fulfilled that God has said would come to pass. He's been made this great and mighty king. He slayed all these armies, and he's a hero in the nation of Israel. And he's standing on the top of his palace, and he looks over to a building right next to him, and he sees a woman bathing. And her name was Bathsheba. Now, I want to ask you, at that moment, was David pressing into Christ or pressing into his sinful desires? What do you think? I mean, David, you think God was on David's mind right at that moment? You think he had this urge to go open his scripture and to begin to read and pray? No, his focus, he was pressing in to his sinful desires, that other rooftop. Whatever's going on over there, that's what he was focusing on. And so he invites Bathsheba over. He has an adulterous affair. She's a married woman. He has this adulterous affair with her, gets her pregnant, has her later, tries to get her husband to come back from battle and sleep with his wife so that he can blame the pregnancy on the husband. And the husband was too honorable to even do that while his fellow soldiers were out suffering. And so he wouldn't do it. So David ended up sending him to the front lines and withdrew his support and had him killed. This is a man after God's own heart. What do you think in that whole... And it ended up, Bathsheba did have the baby, and they lost the child. There was consequences to this pressing in to the flesh, pressing in to his sinful desires. And that's why God tells us to do that. He doesn't tell us to do these things to spoil our good time. Did you know that? God's not this great cosmic fuddy-duddy that doesn't like us having fun. He knows that sin produces death. Sin produces brokenness in us. And so he gives us his law. He gives us how he would have us to live, because he loves us. Because he wants good things for us. That's why he says, press into Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. May every thought be about Christ. But when we turn and we begin to focus on the sinfulness of this world and the things of this world and things of the flesh, brokenness comes from that. Haven't we seen it? Haven't we seen it perhaps even in our own life? And we've certainly seen it out there with people, the sin that is rampant in our culture. Well, I want to tell you back, and you've heard me say this if you've been at the church for a while, but back in my 20s, that was just a few years ago, a couple. But back in my 20s, I was pressing into me. That's who I was pressing into. I was in this self-absorbed life. And for me, sports and having fun with my buddies was what I was pressing into. Now, I want to say there's nothing wrong with having fun with your friends. There's nothing wrong with, you know, all the hobbies that we have and the different things that we do. There's nothing wrong with those things. But that was what I was pressing into. You see, that's everything that I was focusing on was with those things. And I went to church. I mean, yeah, I went to church, but that was just because I felt like I needed to be good. You know, I got to go to church. And I taught Sunday school, but I wasn't focused on Christ in my life. Christ was not the center of my marriage, the center of my life. Yes, I was a Christian, and yes, I went to church and all those things. But I was neglecting Christ. I was neglecting my marriage. I had a beautiful wife at home that was desperate for a husband that would show her some attention. And man, I just didn't get it. She used to use this word, I need you to treasure me. Well, let me tell you, I was a moron. I was like, treasure? What does that mean? What does that mean? You know, I just didn't get it. She needed somebody that would, where she would feel important. See, she would feel significant. And no, I was more focused on me, even my career. I just did my career just so I could make a few bucks to go have fun with my friends. So I wasn't focused on anything except sports and having fun. So I want that to kind of be the backdrop as we walk through these things. I want to contrast where I was at that moment in my life based on verses, how I should have been and how I believe that God is calling us to be. So how do we press into Christ? What does that mean? How do we do that, pressing into Christ? First, we must receive Him as our Lord and Savior. We have to. If you don't know Jesus, you can't press into Him. You must receive His Spirit through faith, by grace through faith, and you must be baptized. Now baptism, I'm not going to get off and chase that rabbit, but I just want to kind of make a brief statement. Baptism, the water doesn't save us, but Christ said to do it. Christ said to do it. If you're my follower, if you've received my Spirit, if you've received me as your Lord and Savior, He says, I want you to be baptized. I want you to tell the world. And this is the mark of your faith in me. This is the mark of the new covenant, is baptism. Now, it says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, we will be saved. Now, so I want to contrast this with the game of golf. I loved all sports, and I played a jillion different kinds of sports. I was never, pro athlete kind of material, but I was pretty good at it because I did it a lot. And golf was something that I was focusing on. It's like I played at least once a week. Now, please hear me, golfers. I'm not condemning golf. I still like to play golf, okay? I'm not condemning golf. But I was pressing in to golf. Do you understand the difference? Shake your head if you're out there, if you're hearing me. I was pressing into golf. That was the priority of my world, was to lower my golf score. I was playing at least once a week, if not more, many times. If I could work it in, if I could, you know, it was always this negotiation. Well, what can I tell Cheryl that, I've got this buddy. He needs somebody to talk to him. I'll go out and play an extra couple of rounds this week because I'm ministering or something, whatever. But I had to take up the game. If I'm going to press into golf, the first thing I have to do is take up the game. Okay? So the first thing we must do as we press into Christ, we must understand Him as our Lord and Savior. Now, I want to take those two words for just a second, Lord and Savior. Savior, we like. We like that part of it. And if we really break those out and think about it, Savior means, I'm saved from something. I'm not right. Maybe I'm not even quite sure, but I'm saved from something. That sounds good. Lord means that we surrender. We lay ourselves down. It's no longer, Scripture tells us, it's no longer my life. It now belongs to Christ because He's my Lord, and I have surrendered my authority for my own life to Him. So we must receive Him as Lord and Savior if we want to press into Him. Secondly, to press into Christ, we must worship Him. We must worship Him. And what that basically means is you need to come to church. If we're not the church for you, find a church. You need, and people all the time, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Yeah, well, I can be a golfer and never play, but, Are you a great golfer? Yeah, played back in 1970. Something was my last game. You don't play, but you're a golfer? Yeah. We come to church because we need our souls to be fed. And yes, you can feed those in the quiet of your sitting place at home or whatever. We need our souls to be fed. We need to worship Him. And Scripture tells us that there's something about God, that He's this God of relationship, not just our relationship with Him, but our relationship with one another, how we should come and we should attend church regularly. And if this is not the place that you should do that, find it. Okay? I just want you to be where God wants you to be. But be in church. Feed your soul regularly. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Even back in biblical times, they struggled with it. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another on. I'm going to tell you something. When you're here, especially if I haven't seen you in a while, and when you come and you're here, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm encouraged. I don't know if anybody else is when you're here, but I'm encouraged when you're here. When I see your face, I'm encouraged. Third thing, to press into Christ, we must get to know him better. We must get to know him better. Y'all probably get tired of hearing this, but that what that means is get into his word. Get into his word. Don't take my word for what he said, what he has told us. Don't listen to what your friends are saying is right and wrong and God's heart. That's how we get into trouble. When we listen to what the world says about issues of the day or about how God feels about us, you know, you may suffer from low self-esteem. Guess what? The Bible says you are wonderfully and carefully made. He loves you. You're his child. He hung on a cross for you. We read his word so that we understand how God feels about us and how we understand how he feels about the world. Listen to I'm going to read two scriptures here that speak of transformation, and listen to what it's talking about being transformed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, there's a word that I actually capitalize in your handout. Then. I want that word to sink in for just a second. When we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, in other words, when we get into God's word, something happens. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know what God's will is, not only in your life, but for our world? Get into God's word. When you have your mind transformed, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Secondly, in 2 Corinthians, and we who all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Listen to this, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. There's this activity of the Holy Spirit. When we read God's word, it is not this legalistic something that we check off our list and go, Jeff said I was supposed to do this to be good. So I'm reading, 5 minutes a day. Done. That's not it at all. We read God's word because it transforms us. There's something, and I encourage you, when you open it up and you begin to read, say this little prayer, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. Speak to me. Change me. Show me what you would have me to hear and to see and to think and to feel. Change me. You open his word, you begin to read it, and you begin to be this process of the Holy Spirit, this sanctification, this purifying and making us righteous begins to happen when we get into God's word. So we got to get to know him. Now, when I was a golfer, when I still golf, but when I was a, crazy golfer that was pressing into golf, I worked at a place that my president of my company, he was a crazy golfer too, and he subscribed. I was the poor man, so I didn't have to do this, but he subscribed to all these golf digests and all these different magazines, and they were all constantly laying around the office, his old ones and stuff. And I was constantly reading that I was studying the game. It's like I was learning how to putt better. I was learning how to chip better. I was learning how to drive better. I was learning how to hit it out of tall grass. I was learning how to hit it out of sand. It was in this constant pursuit of trying to improve my game. What if we did that with God? What if we were in constant pursuit of improving who we are in Christ, the life that we live that should be bringing glory to him? What if we were in this constant pursuit? God, where am I going wrong? Where in my life would you grow me? God, how's my words? How am I speaking to others? If my words do not bring glory to you, show me what that is. What if we were in that pursuit? Fourth thing, to press into Christ, we must talk to him. And I added in there, and listen. We think that prayer is our laundry list to God. God, here's what I need today. Well, I need this and I need that. And it's almost like sitting in Santa's lap. That's the way we view prayer too many times. But sometimes, in fact, I would even say most of the time, prayer is crawling up in his lap and just saying, Lord, just tell me what you want to tell me. I'm here. I'm listening. And just get quiet or have some music on that stirs your soul, something, and just listen. Your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. It's like, just sit. Lord, I'm here. What would you say to me? What would you say to me? How do you feel about me, Lord? How's my life looking for you? You know, also when I was pressing into golf, I watched videos of the pros, and I'd listen to them. They'd give little tips, and I was in this constant mode of improvement. I never did become a great golfer, but I can tell you what, I was a lot better 20 years ago than I am today, because golf was life, and I was a lot better back then. Now, I used to get mad when I'd hit bad shots. If you've played with me, you know a lot of those come now. And I just kind of go, hey, it's cool. Yeah. Yeah. All right. To press into Christ, number five, we must grow with others who love him. Grow with others who love him. Now, I want to use this as an opportunity. And we're not trying to promote community groups for the sake of like, oh, we want a successful ministry here. We want this thing to be successful. No, you know why we are doing community groups? Because I want people to have a relationship with one another. I want us to be deeper. I want us to be deeper. It's not about having a successful ministry that we can impress people with. Look what we're doing or what any of that kind of stuff. I want people to be deeper. And, you know, for instance, Michael and Michelle Stump, Michelle lost her mother Saturday. They're in our reunion group. Our reunion group, and I sent out an elder, if you're here from our reunion group, we ought to be all over that family. We ought to be all over that family in a good way and say, what can we do for you? Praying for them. What can we do for you to love you and to help you through this time? And that's just a piece, just a small piece of what community groups do. We grow with others. We cry together. We laugh together. And our group's done a lot of laughing. We've done a lot of laughing. We've had fun. And God's beginning to knit our hearts together. And it's just been like 4 or 5 weeks. But he's beginning to knit our hearts together. We grow with others who love him. Listen, this is the first church. Right after the Holy Spirit was sent in Acts chapter 2, we call that Pentecost, that first Pentecost morning, when the Holy Spirit came and the church just exploded. Read Acts chapter 2. It's a great, powerful chapter. But I just want to read in verse 41, just a few little verses here. This is the first church. This is what was going on in that first church. Those who accepted his message, Peter had preached kind of the first sermon of the church after the Holy Spirit came. Those who accepted his message were baptized. There it is again. About 3,000. Now, I want to tell you, before I retire from the ministry, I want to baptize 3,000 right out here in this pond. That'd give me something to shoot for, huh? I mean, 3,000 all the same day, not over a 20-year period. I mean, 3,000 today. That's my goal. 3,000 were baptized that day. They devoted them. Listen to what began to happen. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, worship. They began to come and hear the word of God, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. There it is again. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And listen to this, what this did for them with the culture. Enjoying the favor of all the people. You see, that's contagious. When God is moving, and when he's moving in us, people are attracted to that. When they see a real genuine, that's West Texas for genuine. When they see a genuine believer in Christ that's authentic in their walk, and that you can tell that person, something's going on and they're different. I see it in a lot of people, that especially new believers, and they're attracted to that. And I think the same thing would be true for our church. People, when they come in, if they see the love of Christ in our people and they feel the Holy Spirit in this sanctuary, they're going to be attracted to that. He added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, again, the golf analogy for me, back in my 20s, I can honestly say I was thinking about this, and I've already asked my wife for forgiveness for this many times, and she has forgiven me. But I can honestly say I spent more time with my golf buddies than I did with my wife. And I'm not talking about just physical hours, even though that was probably true too, but I'm talking about focused hours. I mean, I was focused more on building relationships with my buddies and having fun with my buddies than I was this precious wife who I had made covenant with to love and to honor and to obey and to go through sickness and health and through richer and poorer and all of those things. As I said earlier, there's nothing. I'm not here to condemn playing golf. I'm here to ask the question, what are you pressing into? And maybe even, who are you pressing into? You know, the Apostle Paul, if you don't know much about him, I'll preach a sermon series on Paul sometime, but he wrote about three-fourths of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was had been a persecutor of the church. He was a Jew, and he believed that the church was a cult, and he was in his, to please God, he would arrest and have the Christians killed, and I mean, he was a bad dude. And God came upon him through the Holy Spirit. He had an encounter with the resurrected Christ, and it changed him. I mean, suddenly this guy who was a persecutor of the church was being persecuted for the church. And he writes in Philippians, he writes these words, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." He goes on to say in Colossians, "Set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." So, you know, David, when David did so many great things, and they're documented in the Word, he did so many great things as king, but he failed that night and the preceding days after that. He was focused on that other roof. He wasn't focused on God at all. And the truth be known, we're in this struggle, aren't we, church? Aren't every one of us in that struggle? We press into Christ and then we find ourselves kind of struggling, slipping over here just a little bit. So the trick is to learn to do that more and more and more. And that's what Paul is saying, is that whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about those things. Put our mind on things above, not on the things of the flesh, not on the things that are fleeting. And having done two funerals this week, you know, I do, and these weren't those type, but I do funerals when you're just kind of going, man, I just don't know. I don't know. And many times I'll do a funeral, the funeral home will call me and say, there's somebody that's from out of town and they used to live here and they want a Methodist pastor to do a funeral. Can you do it? And I do many of those just as a service to these families. And I don't know these folks. I don't know, but you can usually tell by the conversation, the dynamics of the family. If they're talking about, man, you know, Uncle Joe, he just loved Jesus. And the chatter in the family is, man, I remember he took me to church. And he was always reading scripture for me. He prayed for me when I was struggling. When so-and-so broke up with me as a boyfriend in high school, I remember Uncle Joe, he prayed for me. I mean, when you hear those kinds of conversation, or you hear, he caught the biggest bass in West Texas. Sometimes that's what I hear. Man, he was really a fine woodworker. She was the best cook in the county. And those are great things. But I want to say to you, church, when we stand before our Maker, He's not going to ask what kind of golfer we were or what kind of cook we were. He's not going to say, how's your golf game? Scripture tells us he's going to say, do you know me? Did you know me? You know, I know you've been doing all these good things, but do you know me? I mean, so he's calling us to press into him, to become more like Christ every day. Do you want to be a person of integrity? Raise your hand if you want to be a person of integrity this morning. You want your life to display Christ? Press into Jesus. Press into Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I want to, on behalf of myself, no one else, I want to ask your forgiveness for when I put other things in front of you. Father, I talked about today how I used to do that in my 20s, but truth be known, I still do that. Other things can float to the surface and can take priority of you, and I confess that, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I thank you that you're a God of mercy, and you're a God of second and third chances, fourth chances. And you just want us to sit up in your lap and be loved by you. That's all you want, God. Forgive us that that's so hard for us to slow down. Maybe sometimes it's just busyness. Help us to be like you, Jesus. Help us to press into you. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we stand to close today, if Jesus Christ, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and talk to me this morning. If you just want to pray or have me pray for you, I invite you to come. The altar is open.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Go and clothe yourself with Jesus. And go and tell someone. Be blessed. God bless you.
I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. bless me now, my Savior.